Kia ora and welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night at Planet FM 104.6 or live streamed at planetaudio.org.nz. You are here with me, Georgia. Marianne is sadly away today. She's away for the next couple of weeks while she puts on her play that she was telling us about last week. You should go get tickets. Go along. It's at the basement. Score Panay. And yeah, we did a whole episode on it last week. It's a great episode. I definitely would recommend going onto the Planet FM website and downloading that. It's a good time. There were lots of laughs. Yeah, that's actually all I have to say about that. Oh, also, I knew there was something important I had to say on that note. That's happy birthday for yesterday, Marianne. I hope you had a great birthday. You're a great person. Maybe we should play some 660 later for Marianne. That would be the second week in a row that I will have played 660, which is not something that I ever would have expected to do.
This is detrimental to your indie credit.
It's detrimental to my indie credit, but maybe better just for my, like, you know, the things I put out into the universe. I don't hate 660.
Cool.
All right,
that's on the record.
I don't hate them. You know, it's not really my thing, but, you know, I've been known to jam Rolling Stone, like, on repeat. That one's a jam. That's cool. The one I'm going to play later. Actually, I think that's what I played last week.
They've already completely sold out their Western Spring show, haven't they?
The second one. Already.
I don't think they have completely sold it. Let's go with
it.
They've completely sold.
And more.
So don't bother going to get tickets, because it's
I heard they're going to do a second show.
Just to be sure. 660, I'm not trying to botch your details.
So I have to move this. For some reason, the mic's down real low, and I didn't realise before I started talking. I'm having to, like, lean into it. So there's going to be a creaking noise. I'm sorry. I fixed it. Okay, cool. Sorry. This is like a bit of a, okay, I've got a question. Is it called breaking the fourth wall if you're not watching it, if it's on radio?
I suppose, like, the fourth wall, I guess it's like expanded to like all kinds of media now, right? It's not just theatre or TV.
Yeah.
Can we just get a clarification? Is that when one would look at the camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Or
like talk about next season, like, sort of thing. Yeah, isn't it typically when you're like playing a character that is acknowledging that it is actually a character and not real life?
Yeah, like acknowledging so, that. Well, maybe it's only for fiction. Maybe. Right, because the news is not breaking the fourth wall. Like, the news is like, the news knows that it's the news.
It's just self-aware.
Sorry, am I derailing your show?
It's getting real deep. Anyway, better for the people who are listening, not watching, because they can't see who you all are, give a bit of context. Welcome back to the studio, Liam Cosley.
Kia ora.
Liam's going to be co-hosting with me tonight, but also, you've got a review.
Yeah.
What are you going to be reviewing later on?
I was very lucky to be able to head along to the at Whammy last night, see Harvey Unclear, supported by Skiller and Daffodils, which was incredible.
An amazing lineup.
Oh, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. I was along photographing the gig, and it was easy.
Apart from, you guys
put on such a great show.
I stitched Liam up real bad.
Yes, and we're going to talk about this later.
We'll talk about it later. But it's a bit awkward. Like, I feel real bad. Like, I feel quite panicked. I did.
You should.
I stitched Liam up real bad. I did a typical Georgia, and we'll talk about it later. We should talk about it. Yeah. Okay,
we should talk about it. I'm very intrigued.
I was given a wrong set of names by people who I was to be introducing myself to. And I'm awkward with introducing myself to people as it is, let alone when you're being looked at funny every time you mention the person's, in quotation marks, name.
Yeah, it's so bad. And because the reason I was telling you their names is because I know them to be quite awkward, so I was trying to make it less awkward.
And anyway, as a result, just made it
real bad.
The old double negative.
Perfect. Happens sometimes. It happens. Welcome back to the studio, Jeff.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah, we would have had you about a year ago?
Yeah, I think so, about thereabouts.
Yeah. So it's like, it's been cool because for me that was my first introduction to you and your music, and now I've been following you on socials and every time you've released something, and it's super cool to be like watching your journey, and it seems as though you've come a really long way and since I first met you over the last year, so I can't wait to hear all about that.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me and saying those words.
You're welcome. I'm going to be saying many more words during the next 90 minutes. So
cool.
You'll good. Have more words to thank me for.
Sweet.
Cool.
Awesome.
awesome.
I'm clearly not very good at saying words, so...
Words is good. Yeah. We can do... you're going to do a couple of songs live in the studio as well, is that right?
Yes, yeah. I'm better at singing words than I am saying them.
Cool. Imagine if I'd gone, is that writing? You'd just gone, no.
What? Okay. No, I've changed my mind since we last talked about this.
okay, sweet. Okay, so that's something to look forward to, unless you change your mind.
Yeah.
Something to see what's going to happen. How is this show going to unravel?
Yeah, we'll keep the mystery alive.
For some reason, I just wanted to say hectic, and it didn't really fit into the context, but I'm trying to bring back the word hectic because I've been hearing other people say it, so they must also be on this quest.
I didn't know it ever left.
No, yeah. The fact that you thought that's pretty hectic, to be honest.
Yeah, so I'm just saying the more we could say that during the show,
sure. That
would be like a good personal goal. Like, then I can tip that off for
like
the week.
Tally,
I actually did bring a pen.
Hectics.
Yeah, okay, I brought a pen.
Thank you very much.
I brought a ShowQuest pen.
Oh, shameless plug, love that.
I
presume we're not counting hectic. Okay, well, that's one. That's two.
One, yeah.
Cool. Also, somebody who I'm very excited to have in the studio, Joel from Holiday Records. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you?
I am very good.
Highlight of your weekend?
Highlight of my weekend? I've had actually a pretty chilled weekend. Today's our only sort of day off, so I was in the store yesterday and...
Are you closed on a Sunday?
We're closed on a Sunday, yeah. We wanted to give ourselves one day off, I guess.
Day for God.
Yes, day for God, day for prayers. It's been a pretty chilled weekend. I should probably introduce myself for Holiday Records.
Please
in
do.
General, we have recently just opened a vinyl record pressing plant in Auckland, which is New Zealand's first since 87, I think. We've done a few jobs. We've got about five or six sets of stampers for these jobs arriving tomorrow morning, so we're going to hit the ground running pressing some records. So it's getting ready for that, really.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people who regularly listen to the show will know this very intimately because a band that I work with, Minnie Simmons, who I'm a big fan of, who I did actually apologise when you came in. I said, I don't think I can play any more Minnie Simmons on the show because I've played Minnie Simmons so much.
Yeah.
Are you okay, Liam?
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay, cool.
It's just we're trying to figure out whether there's lightning and thunder outside. It's very scary.
There's thunder and lightning outside.
Very, very
is
frightening.
There definitely is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Sweet. If anyone would like to talk to us about the thunder and lightning outside, send us a message. We're Kickarts on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
Or just verify whether we are actually seeing things. That's possible.
Yes. Yeah. So that's Kickarts on Facebook. We're talking about the weather tonight.
Yeah.
Cool. So Minnie Simmons. I play them a lot on the radio. Not going to play them this episode. But if people do want to listen to them, they could pause the episode if they're listening to it on the podcast. Or they could, if they listen to it live later on, they could go on Spotify, listen to Minnie Simmons, because they're great. Exactly. And they were the first record that you pressed.
Yeah, I was about to say, or somehow get their hands on one of the records that we pressed for theirs. But they've all sold out, so I might have to get it second hand.
Like a flash.
Like that.
I don't even have one. Yes. I had to give up my copy.
Yeah, we kind of just randomly just decided to take one for us, you know, buy one obviously, but didn't really think about the fact that they might sold out and might be not be able to get a copy ourselves. So.
Wait, so you do have a copy?
We do have a copy, yeah. Cool. Just for the store, you know, to put on. And,
cool, so yeah. Now that my copy's gone and all the band's copies are gone, we can
George's
use
now
your
in
copy.
Your case.
We could. They do have some sort of, I don't know if this is like a, what's the word? Like a news story, but they, I think they are thinking about doing a rerun at some point too. So
how many
will be getting
an
opportunity? They did 150 to start off with, which wow. I always encourage them to do more because I was like, these are going to go like hotcakes, but which was right. So yeah, I think they're going to do some more.
That sounds like a very wise decision.
Keep the exclusivity around the first release.
Well,
yeah, let that build for a bit.
One of the cool things that they did with the first release is they took a bunch of photos and got them printed, 150 different photos, got them printed and randomly put them in the packaging. So, and actually the person who got my record didn't get the person who got my record didn't get their photo because I had already taken the photo out and it's on my wall. So Jessie watches me sleep. And that's all I have to say about that.
So if you've got a copy of Minnie Simmons' debut record and it hasn't got a photo in it and you really want that photo...
No, I gave it to someone who knew. Like, it wasn't, like... It was different. They needed... They were getting the record, but they got my copy, so it came through me first. So, yeah, they should have gotten it with the photo, but it's not as bad. Like, they didn't... It's not as bad as them buying the record, like a random person buying the record and then...
It's bad...
But it's not that bad. It's anyway. Bad, but it's not that bad. Anyway.
I'm sure the record's still absolutely banging.
It's a great record.
It's a great record, yeah.
It's beautifully pressed.
Yeah, it's beautifully pressed. So I was about to say, like, although, when you know, you've played a lot of Minnie Simmons on here, we listen to the record so much, so, like, I love all the tracks. And
do you have a personal favourite track?
French Sunflower Fields, probably.
That is a good one.
Yeah, that was actually the track on the record that we were, at the time of pressing, we just had a few clicks that just never disappeared, so we had to get the stampers actually remade to get rid of those clicks.
So is that a case of, like, on the actual stamp itself, correct my terminology, that it's just got a little, like, tiny imperfection
or something? Yeah, exactly that, yeah. And then we were pressing and we're, like, trying to, you know, sort of balance our settings out so we could, you know, get a smooth sounding record, but it just wasn't going away and it was just driving us a little bit insane. So then we
back to the drawing board.
Then we rang the guys up in Nashville who makes the stampers for us or cuts the original record, and then they listen to their copy and they're like, oh yeah, there's the same clicks here. We're like, oh my god,
we're not it going
all makes
crazy.
Sense yeah, we're not going crazy. They're like, yeah, so if they just redo it and send it down to you all for free, because, you know, it's their bad. But yeah, well.
But it sounds frustrating.
It was frustrating.
Especially
at the time.
When it's like the first one,
and you
sure.
want a perfection, and yeah, and then we had a bit of a time frame as well with the release, you know, coming up the next week. So we got the job done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
it was quite cool on the release night. You go in and the walls are just lined with Minnie Simmons.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Then you actually see the guys in there, like half of them dressed in the same clothes as on the record itself. It's just like,
yeah. And to have like a release at the pressing plant where it was pressed as well is a pretty cool thing, which we hope to do for other artists.
Liam and I actually did a photo shoot next to the pressing machine.
Yeah.
Just in case you were wondering.
Just in case some photos pop up.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering what Liam and I were up to that night.
Yeah, right.
We were taking photos next to your machine.
No, yeah, a few people were. It's quite a beautiful machine.
It's a beautiful piece of engineering.
Yeah. We'll put one of the photos up when we post the podcast link tomorrow.
Yeah.
So everyone can see.
Yeah, wonderful.
Because it was very romantic.
Yeah.
Was it like hugging the machine? And
no,
it was the romance. It was the romance between.
Liam and I are business partners, but everybody thinks we're a couple, and we kind of go with it. We take a very good couple shot.
Yeah, good.
You'll see it tomorrow with the link.
Well, I'm excited to see that.
On the Facebook page. The machine.
Yes.
Can you tell us the story of the machine? Like, what does it do? How did you get it here? It's ginormous.
It is ginormous. How we got it here was in three separate crates from Toronto on a ship. It took probably a month or maybe like 45 days. Mm-hmm. What it does is presses vinyl records, basically. So me and my business partner, Ben, who's not here, he's in Hawke's Bay tonight. But
Yo, Ben.
Yo, Ben. I'm sure you're listening out there. We set out to open a pressing plant, and the options were get a really old machine and sort of refurb it, and we were like, that's just too hard basket. So we did a bit of research, and there's a couple of companies making these brand new pressing machines to service the lack of supply in the market, because all these old ones were either, you know, had it or used, and there was still this huge demand for vinyl, and all the pressing plants were like backed up for months. So yeah, there's two companies, there might even be three, but we only checked out two of them, and one was in Germany and this other one was in Canada, and it was just like by far the best machine, and it's sort of revolutionized how records are getting pressed these days. It's still using the exact same process of
like
pressing.
Same techniques.
Yeah, same techniques, but it's just automated the whole thing, you know, bring it into the 21st century, which is pretty cool. So it's made it accessible for people like Ben and I, who didn't have any experience with pressing vinyl records, like anyone in the country, because they haven't done it for 30 years. But yeah, for us to go and do some training and learn the craft. So it's cool.
Oh, I'm just getting Liam to open the door because it is hot in here.
It is. But yeah, so that's what we're doing.
it was really, really interesting going into the actual pressing room on the night, and it's like you just see this glorious big red shiny piece of engineering, and then just is it all the cardboard bags just sitting full of the wax,
full of the PVC vinyl.
So is it basically just they go into like a hopper and then are melted down, and then it's
exactly.
Just sort of stamps out from that.
Yeah, so
I'm sure that's
it's a, yeah, it's kind of, it starts from one end with PVC pellets, and then in 35 seconds that gets made into a record, so it gets melted down and then pressed between these two stampers that we were talking about earlier, which imprints the hot plastic with the grooves of the record, and then it gets trimmed up. And
so is it 35 seconds from...
Yeah, 35 seconds is the cycle time, basically. It can get longer or shorter, but that's our average cycle time at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's pretty amazing. You think, like... Well, you mentioned earlier that it's a very similar sort of technique as has traditionally been used.
Yeah.
Is that, you know... I mean, I have no idea about pressing record or anything. Like, did it used to be a case of it was a really, really long, drawn-out process, which may have contributed to why, you know, it fell out of favour for a couple of decades?
Yeah, or? Well, in terms of the process, like, it still uses, you know, steam or heat to press the record and cold water to set it. So every time the record presses, some steam comes through the moulds just to help flatten it, and then... it holds that for a bit, and some cold water comes in and helps set it, and that's, you know, within these 30 seconds, and it opens up and it's hard and cold, and well, not super cold, but it has, yeah, and then it gets trimmed and then dropped at the end. So yeah, it's using those same processes, but back in the day they kind of had to do every part by hand, whereas we kind of just press go and it, all these arms are moving around and moving everything and themselves. Yeah, just, well, like, we can technically like leave it and do its thing, but we, you know, we're encouraged to.
One of those things you just want to, like,
yeah, want to see there, yeah, and just see. You do, as records are getting pressed in a run, you are listening to, you know, as many as you can, just to make sure that it's still.
Yeah,
high
so,
quality.
Yeah, so I suppose the quality control, is it a case of you guys will randomly just select a couple out of a batch,
yeah,
listen to it cover to cover?
Well, the process basically is, for any artists who want to come press for in any pressing plant really, is we do some test pressings, and it takes us a while to get the balance right with the machine, play with the settings for a bit, because with every job the settings will change. Could be even the temperature and the air, or just the stampers themselves, or yeah, there's so many different variables. So we do some test pressings for a few hours and get in a good spot, and then if we're happy we send them to the artist, they have a list and they're like, sweet, go for it, like, we're happy with this. And then when we press go on the run, then we kind of just leave it, and we can press, you know, a couple hundred records in a couple of hours. So when it's pressing and we got in a good spot, we probably listen to like every 10 or 20 or so.
Right, okay.
Yeah, because sometimes it could, yeah, get out of kilter, but usually it's pretty good.
So how, it seems like a big leap of faith for the two of you to go from never pressed a piece of vinyl in your life,
yeah,
to having a record store and this machine. Like, how did you get to that? What made you want to do that?
It's definitely, yeah, a bit of a risk, but, and also going into there without any experience, but you know, anyone going into pressing records, you'd have to start somewhere, I guess. And we did a lot of research into, I guess, the market in general. Like, there's no one doing it here, and the demand worldwide was obvious. Where the idea came from in the beginning was actually from Ben, because he is, and more so as it was, in a band a couple of years ago, and he did a bit of research where to get tracks pressed on vinyl, and realised you couldn't do it here, and then that's where the sort of research for the business started. So yeah,
super cool. Did you like have a passion for vinyl?
Yeah, totally. Well, obviously, like, Ben with his band wanted to do it. He kind of came up with the idea for sure and got me on board as like a fellow music, you know, lover, as I guess we all are. But my passion for vinyl kind of started there as well. Like, my collection's just grown, because once you start, you kind of can't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many vinyl do you reckon you have?
I don't know, maybe like 50 or so, which is probably quite small considering the huge amounts of, you know, vinyl
you
people
also
do
have
collect.
A store full of
but
vinyl.
We still, yeah, we have a yeah. We have a store, so we can get at our fingertips. Yeah, exactly.
Well, is it same name Confusion? Is that the second the second record that
We've pressed three now, and we've done a few test pressings for a few others, but Same Name Confusion are the, I guess the next release that will be finished next. Yeah, and so they're a Wellington-based band.
Cool, very exciting. They're a great band. Yeah, is there a particular really song that you... I'd love to play one of these songs. Is there a particular song that you would like? Or otherwise, I'll just play something off their new EP.
Yeah, I can have the new EP, just anything off their... Yeah, so we are pressing their EP. So one side's the EP, but the B-side's them playing live the EP in Wellington. So it's pretty sick.
That is super cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And whenabouts will that be on the shelves?
So they actually... starting a tour in Wellington next weekend, so they'll have records there, and then they're touring around the country after that with records, and then we'll obviously have a few in the store. And
cool. So if people are listening and they are wanting to buy some vinyl when they're in Auckland, they can head into Holiday Records, which is, I want to say, Wellesley Street.
It is Wellesley Street.
Yes, nailed it.
I thought that I get confused with the names, so I could just as easily be naming a completely different street.
It is Wellesley Street West, though, because we've had people go to East and they've ended up at the university and they're a bit confused.
It's, if you know where Best Ugly Bagels is, across the road from there.
Across the road there from City Works Depot, pretty easy to find.
Yeah. If people are listening and they want to pick up a record, they can go there if they're in Auckland. Otherwise, if they're listening and they're like, hey, this is awesome, pick up a ticket to the show. And you can pick up some vinyl there. Very exciting. I'm going to play Not Fake News by Same Name Confusion, and we will be back very shortly.
Supermarket.
Welcome back to the studio. I am playing more music accidentally. I've stopped. Nailed it. I'm doing really well. That was Not Fake News by Same Name Confusion. They're about to start a little tour in Wellington and then around the country and you can buy that on vinyl from Holiday Records if you would like. Man, I'm so professional. Nailed it. I've got a question. If you compliment yourself after you say something and you think you did a good job, does it totally cancel it out?
No, it probably emphasises a bit more. Yeah?
It's a process of self-love.
I feel like we could speak more positively about ourselves as a country.
Yeah, as a country, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, sorry, I nodded, but then I was like, I'm on the radio, so they can't hear me nodding.
Yeah, so but...
Throwbacks to Quinn the Human, Radio Mom.
That was like kind of like you being like, I nodded and that was an appropriate response, so now I'm going to tell people so that they know about my appropriate response, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we could do more of
nailed
that,
it.
I'm saying. You nailed it. You really nailed it.
Basically just a verbal self-vibe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Jeff, you're going to do a song for us. What a treat.
Cool.
What song are you going to do?
I'm going to do a song called Fingerprints.
And this is a release track?
Yeah, yeah. So this song, this song was like kind of the first song I released last year, and it kind of like was the one that sent me on this kind of journey that I'm on currently.
It's got a really good single artwork.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend RJ and I designed it together. He designs t-shirts.
Oh.
Doodacky Design Lab is the name of his t-shirt company. That's a shout out to Doodacky Design Lab.
Yeah.
Shout out Doodacky.
Shout out.
Cool. Should we get into it?
Yeah,
let's take it away, Jeff.
Okay. I feel your fingerprints in the fog and fading light. Since I've moved back home, nothing really feels right. Your voice is lingering in the walls and curtains still. Forgotten seconds, hours, minutes and silences. And I'm wondering all about how it began, the people we are and the ones who were then. Was it worth it? And maybe I think I could see you again, and maybe it's easier just to pretend it was worth it. It was worth it. But it's over now. Yes, it's over we used to wear, the give and the take of our compromised love affair. And I'm wondering all about how it began, and all of the words that led up to the end. Was it worth it? And maybe I think I could see you again, and all of the questions and could have been. So it was worth it. It was worth it, but it's over now. Yes, it's over now.
So beautiful.
Fantastic.
You've
so
got
much.
Like one of those real dreamy voices. It's like, ooh, you want to go
falsetto. Like that. Hectic falsetto.
Hectic.
Hectic falsetto.
Three on the tally. Hectic. Four.
It's such a beautiful song.
Oh, thank you so much.
Could you tell us a bit about the writing of the song? Whenabouts did you write it? How did it come together?
Yeah, so like I lived in the States for a couple of years. I went to music school over there. And then kind of after coming back, I was like, I don't want to do music anymore. I think I was just kind of burnt out on music.
What school did you go to?
I went to Berklee School of Music in Boston.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, it was a super cool experience, but it was so, so full on and like...
It'd be pretty intensive.
Yeah, it was hectic, one might even say.
I'm just going to leave this clicked on.
But it yeah, no, it was a lot. And like as well as kind of studying over there, I was also like playing heaps like outside of school. And like I did a tour of the East Coast and all that. And then I got back here and I was like, oh man, okay, I need to take a break from music for a little bit. And then the break ended up being like 2 years. I was like, I'll just come back to it when I feel the like desire to do it. And then like it just didn't, like I just didn't feel like I wanted to do it for like 2 years. And then I ended up kind of shooting a documentary, like the album recording for a guy called Kieran McMeekin at Roundhead. So I was just in the studio all the time, like just doing camera stuff. But then I think just being in studio and being surrounded by music again, I was like, oh my God, like why did I stop for so long? And I felt really inspired again. And yeah, so this song was kind of like born out of that rush of inspiration after that. And it was kind of about like, I don't know, I guess like I felt weird about the fact that I'd gone so long without doing music, and there was this weird like almost like guilt about it. I was like, why did I do that to myself? So I guess like writing the song was part of like working through that and being like, it's cool, you know, it's gonna be fine, and I can just carry on now. Yeah,
that's a really beautiful little story.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So whenabouts was that time in relation to now of you getting back into music and starting this journey again?
So that was kind of just like just before the start of last year.
Cool.
So like late 2017.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we met you last year, would have been about exactly a year ago, I think, and you had you must have just released Fingerprints, I think.
Yeah, so Fingerprints came out in July last year, and it feels like way longer since then. Feels way longer than a year, but yeah, I think that was probably the last time I was here.
Yeah, I remember you telling us the story of the cover art for Don't You Know You No More.
Oh, yeah.
Your hand holding on to a handful of jelly worms.
Yeah,
yeah, and
right.
How long it had taken to get there.
It took a while. And like my hands were really sticky for like a long time afterwards. And I kept finding little like sugar crystals all over my room after that, because like I just took that photo in my room. Like I just got a bit of blue cardboard from Warehouse Stationery and like sellotaped it to my wall. And then like just put my camera on a tripod. Right. Yeah, that's right. It was like super DIY.
Yeah.
And then just like trying to adjust the position of the gummy worms.
What made you want to do the gummy worm shot? How were you inspired by that?
I wanted it to be like really colourful and kind of like, yeah, just like all the different colours.
Yeah, yeah.
And my original idea for it was to get like a paddle pop and have it be melting all over my hand, because it's like the song is kind of like upbeat and like colourful and stuff, but it's also kind of sad. Mm. So I was like, a melting ice cream is the metaphor I choose for this song. And then I tried it, and I guess like paddle pops are kind of like less high quality ice cream than I thought they would be.
Hey.
Because the way it was, okay, in terms of melt, in terms of melt quality, it just went like super watery.
It just hasn't got the consistency you're after.
It's, yeah, so
sounds
like
a trial and error thing. Sounds like your room was in a hell of a state for quite
some
time.
Oh, dude, it was bad. Yeah, it was a bad situation. And I was like, so I was holding this paddle pop, and I took a photo of it, and it looked like I just had a wet hand holding a paddle pop. And I was like, this is not So I was like, okay, plan B, gummy worms.
Gummy worms.
Yeah.
It's the obvious choice.
Naturally.
Mm. Yeah, the other colourful thing, food item I could think of. Mm.
So you've released a number of tracks in the last year. Mm. You've released one this year, which is Save Me the Weekend.
Yes, that's right. Cool.
You have such good cover artwork. What is it? Could you talk to us a bit about that? It's like it seems as though as a fan who follows you online, your social profiles, but also your songs as you release them, you've got a very quite a clear aesthetic. It seems in your image as an artist, really strong bright colours.
Mm.
Yeah. Could you talk a bit about that? Is that something that's quite deliberate, or does it just come out naturally?
I can't actually remember how that became a thing. I think it just kind of naturally happened. Because I'm like a photographer and a videographer, so I like visual stuff as well. And so I guess I like to express myself like through visual things as well as through sound and music and stuff. So maybe it was more natural for me to like be able to do like a visual branding thing, you know, like it may not come as naturally to other people who are like really like more focused on music.
And you have an eye for it as well, so it's like easier to do it yourself, do you think?
Maybe, I don't know. Like, I enjoyed doing it myself, and, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how the bright colours thing came about, but, like, I feel like it makes sense to me, you know, and I can't really explain it beyond that, and, like, it just makes sense to me, and I like the way it looks, and it's kind of fun to do, so, yeah.
Maybe you could do it like a dark period down the track. You could do like a metal album.
I'll go through my goth phase.
Black and white.
Yeah.
But mostly black.
And Joel could press you like some full black vinyl where you can't even read the label because it's like
that's
black
so
on black.
That would be so dense. Yeah.
Well, I was about to say the artwork's such a cool part of albums and music,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Without shamelessly plugging vinyl itself, but the idea that you can get it blown up and
just the
hold it and put it on your wall, yeah.
Well, I've been following. I want to say Mild Orange, but it's not Mild Orange. It's Soaked Oats. So I don't know why it's wanting to come out of my mouth differently. Soaked Oats on Instagram with their vinyl.
The Sludge Pop EP, and they've got different colours.
It's come out in different colours just because the people that were pressing it had like the leftovers from other vinyl runs. So different people have different colours.
Yeah, I didn't realise that, and I think I saw that on Instagram as well. Like, show us your colours that you got. And I think we've got like a grey one in the store.
Yeah.
And we sold a few, but
I think they were asking. The impression that I got is that they were asking people so that they could put up a post being like, "There's nothing wrong with it. This is just kind of what happened," and put up a few different ones. I'm not sure it was even something deliberate. It's just kind of the way it's...
Oh, so they didn't even know. They're like, oh, yours is...
Yeah, one was just flying to the radar.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly it was deliberate, but that's not the impression
just
I got.
Just trying to collect them
cool.
all. They have to go buy a bunch more now, so you get
that's
all
right.
the collection.
And you're like, yellow
it was like
and
those,
brown. And
like, do you remember those, like, Polar Pops where, like, it was just uncoloured ice cream? Sorry, it was like an ice block, but they were all different flavours?
No.
And they all look the same.
They all look the same, yeah.
No.
But they have different flavours. So I'm like, maybe this is like a Polar Pop situation.
But they were...
And
wait,
they all sound the same.
They all sound the same, but like, yeah, ice blocks.
I know exactly what you were talking about. Mm. Those were awesome.
They're awesome.
Were they all clear?
Yeah, they're all clear.
I think I do remember that now. I was like, what happened to my childhood and missing out on something?
Do you remember the clear Raro that you could get when you were a kid?
Yes, colour free.
The mystery
yeah,
flavour.
Yeah, I remember like, that.
Mm.
I'm not trying to make it out. It's a lot more healthier for you, but, you know.
I remember just this one day sailing past Dad and him being like, what are you drinking? And be like, water.
Yeah.
I think that's my first memory of ever lying.
You're
and it's
water,
the only lie I've
running
ever
around on the ceiling.
Yeah. I am just really wanting to listen to Save Me the Weekend.
Okay, sure. You can.
So let's do it because I'm in control. I don't
such
know, guys.
Power play.
So, Save Me the Weekend. So this is your latest release.
Yeah,
could
that's
you
right.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, so the song was about kind of, it's about like dating in the modern era and like Tinder and how it like really sucks.
We talk about Tinder a lot on the show.
Oh, do you? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
We do.
We can deep dive into this topic
Let's
after
do it.
This. But we, so I wrote the song about like, you know, like, everyone's, like, so busy, right? Everyone's got, like, a million things on, and, like, your calendar is, like, stacked. And, like, you never have any time to do anything or, like, see anyone. And then, like, when you first meet somebody and you really like them, you're like, oh, man, like, I actually want to spend time with you and, like, prioritize you and, like, spend time with you, like, on the weekend, which is, like, prime calendar real estate,
yeah.
You know? And it feels like a big ask to be like, hey, can you save me the weekend? So I can hang out with you then, you know, that's what it's about. And yeah, so that's the idea behind the song.
Yes, and you and me need to have this conversation with Jeremy Redmore.
Okay.
You know Jeremy Redmore from Midnight Youth?
I don't know him personally, but I follow his Instagram.
Yeah.
And he follows me on Instagram, which I was like, I had a mega like...
Yeah.
Yeah, like I nearly died when he followed me back. I was like, dude, yeah. He follows me back. He hasn't liked any of my posts yet, though, so I'm like,
ooh.
I'm holding out for that. I'm holding out.
He's
no, it's not shots. I'm just like, I really want him to.
if you're listening out there, your phone just starts dinging.
Yeah, yeah. All of them.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This week I started filming this little web series with a whole lot of different artists, and one of the artists we were working with is Jeremy, and he came in and he started talking to us about Golden Love, which is has the most streams of any Midnight Youth song, even though, like, since the conception of the song to what it is now has been a real journey. So it's really cool. It's like he came in and told us all about it and broke down the song, and it's really special, and I can't wait to share it with everybody next month, and I will talk about it. But he said that, you know, the lyric and Golden Love, we were destined underdone, meet me Thursday for Golden Love. And I was like, why Thursday, dude? And he said it's because Thursday is like, he's like, if someone's hanging out with you on the weekend, they're already free. But if they're hanging out with you on a Thursday, that's like such a, like he said, like that's like an important day. If someone's hanging out with you on a Thursday, that means they really like you.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree. I reckon like on a Thursday, I'm like, what else am I doing on a Thursday?
Yeah, you know? Everyone really values their weekends more so than their weekdays, right? Probably. Do you think?
So you're on Team Jeremy, essentially.
No, I'm in Team Jeff for sure. Valuing the weekends over the...
Yeah, I'm like... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So we should do this as a televised debate, I think.
Okay.
We'll organise it with Jeremy.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's
Jeremy, are you free next Thursday?
he is. He's got nothing planned, but he does have a very busy weekend.
Well,
get
this
it?
Is this.
That was a good joke, eh?
Fantastic joke. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man. All right, so we're actually going to get into the song now. This is Save Me the Weekend. And yeah, let's get into it.
Save me the weekend. Baby, save me the weekend.
That was Save Me the Weekend, and we're going to go actually straight into another song. We're going to go into Julius Caesar by Hardly Unclear, and when we come back, Liam is going to do a little review of their show from Whammy last night. This is Julius Caesar. Oh, and by the way, the distortion in this guitar is through a piece of Gouda. Just for now, when you listen to it, listen out for the... Yeah, Sylvia Massey, listen out for the Gouda. Was Julius Caesar by Hardly Unclear, which is their latest release off their upcoming album, which I'm so excited about. They're my favourite local band. I am incredibly jealous that you got to go and see them at Wham yesterday, Liam.
Yeah, rightly so.
And I'm sorry that I stitched you up. And see, I had been with the singer Michael a few hours before on a project, the same project that I was talking about with Jeremy Redmore, talking through Golden Love.
Mm-hmm.
I also did one with Michael yesterday, talking through that song we just listened to, Julius Caesar, which will also be coming out next month. But I will talk about it properly on the show closer to time. So I have met him and talked to him, really nice guy, and I've been like, my business partner, Liam, he's going to be at the show later. You should go and introduce yourself to him. It's going to be great. And then I separately had texted Liam saying, you should go and introduce yourself to Paul, which is the name of the bass player. And I just don't know why I wrote that, because it's not Michael's name. That is the name of another member of the band.
So, yeah, how did this unfold then? Can we just get that before you continue with the review?
Everyone was all very wonderful and appreciative of the fact that I'm clearly...
Did you just throw blame straight at George?
He didn't. We realised together when Liam picked me up and drove me to this interview, and I referred to Michael as Michael, And Liam went,
I basically pulled over and did that.
Get out of the car.
He's like, hang on. He's like, no. You mean Paul? And I went, no, Michael. And he went, no. Michael's the name of the bass player. Paul's the name of the front man. That's what you told me yesterday. And then I laughed so much I cried. So sorry for that stitch up. Liam, who will have been referring to
you're crying on the outside, I'm crying on the inside.
By the wrong names.
Never go for Webby again.
Yeah. But it's not great. It's not a great situation. So sorry about that.
I am aware.
Sorry about that, Liam.
Yeah, the show was absolutely insane. So it was Harvey Unclear, and they were supported by Skiller and Daffodils. Yeah, and it was just a really, really fun time. I was along photographing the gig, which is always a hell of a lot of fun. I'm 6'4", so it's usually pretty niggly getting through a very, very tight whammy crowd. And if you just wave a big camera in front of people, they tend to move out of the way a lot more enthusiastically. So I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, I was just saying earlier that Skiller were first up. And that was the tightest live performance I've seen by anyone anywhere. Like, it was nuts. They just sounded incredible. And
what's their vibe?
It's very sort of jazzy.
Jazz funk.
Yeah,
fusion.
Yeah. I'm categorically terrible at putting genres to music.
Could you maybe describe it as a neo soul hip hop alternative folk kind of a improvisation kind of a thing?
That's exactly how I'd describe it, actually.
That's how they would describe it on their Spotify that I just clicked over to.
There's a lot of words there.
Yeah.
Into it.
Yeah, see, I recognise most of those words, like, individually, but you put them all together like that and I'll just nod.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was really, really good. And then we had Daffodils up next, who just always absolutely light the place on fire. I saw them last weekend at the Red Bull Laneway at Galatos, along with Stink and Methyl Ethyl, and yeah, they were just incredible there as well.
How did the two sets compare? Because they're different venues and different.
Yeah, well, Galatos is obviously a fair bit bigger than Whammy, but yeah, I suppose they're very, very different vibes. I mean, Whammy has still got that kind of more of a bar than a venue vibe, which is really, really cool. It's got that real, you know, grassroots feeling about it. Mm. Whereas Galatos, you know, it's like a shrunk down power station more than anything. It's like actually a dedicated
stage. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
You can actually see the performers.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I suppose the way that they interact with the crowd, I suppose, is slightly different when you're in somewhere with Whammy. Like, do you know, like, how many people fit into Whammy? I'd say 100, like
200 maybe. 200. I think if it was like
about 200.
Yeah, I think like max capacity would be like 200.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, I mean, it's a much more sort of intimate setting. I was chatting to the guys before the show at the sound check, and then they went away. Just sort of in the lead up to the gig, and they came back. Theo came back with a light up fidget spinner, and I thought, which was fiercely 2013.
That's so them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and yeah, throughout the set, they just gave it out to someone, and it was really funny because then, like, I'm running around the back of the venue trying to get, like, cool shots of the crowd and everything.
Yeah.
And there's just this always fidget spinner that just gets thrown up in the middle of your shots.
Is it passed around?
I don't know.
First recipient just
I must say, I wasn't specifically focusing on the fidget spinner. But I imagine there was a bit of a sharing is caring vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was really funny. There was someone in the crowd who was passing fortune cookies up to all the acts, and
oh, cool. Did you get one?
I didn't. I mean, I wasn't one of the acts, so that's probably fitting. But Theo got one, and I think his one said that good news is going to come in the mail next week. So Theo,
wow,
just
start sending that's it really specific. We should, okay, for
yeah,
a
I thought, it. Like, especially, you know, given today's day and age where the only thing that comes in mail is really invoices.
Yeah.
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 Or bills, or just...
Yeah, just generally not wonderful things.
No, not at all.
Could be like a supermarket discount flyer.
Do you get those in your mailbox?
Not like coupons, but like the what do you call them? The catalogs.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we have this like 50% off muesli bars this week.
I mean, that makes my day.
That's great news, right? Yeah. So maybe that's going to arrive in the mail.
Muesli bars. I like that was the first. That was the best thing you could think of.
It's so good, though.
The portability.
Muesli bars are very expensive.
Of muesli bars.
Are you? Do you like to partake in a muesli bar?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I quite like.
If you're suggesting you don't, then you sit on a throne of lies. Like, there's no such thing as someone who doesn't like muesli bars. Anyway, I feel like we got sidetracked.
Yeah.
Daffodils. One thing that constantly impresses me about Daffodils, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that, is they are a young band.
They are a really young band.
Yeah, they're all 18, 19.
Yeah.
And their sound is so mature.
It is, yeah. I mean, Theo's got such a sort of projecting voice about him, which is really, really cool. It's kind of because how long have they been performing? I mean, outside of they came through Rockquest.
They
right?
came out of Smart Free Rockquest, yeah, and they came second 2 years in a row. It would have been 2016, 2017, yeah. So they've been together playing together about for 3 or 4 years, yeah.
So realistically, they've been playing. Like, they've been very limited in what bars they can actually play because they haven't been allowed in.
I think they're one of those.
What's the rules around there?
They're one of those. Yeah. They're one of those bands, though, I think, that have shown that they're a good example for kind of a formula to follow, I think. Like, they really did their time last year. They were playing, like, every weekend. They were playing all the time. And now they're not playing as much, but when they are playing.
They bring crowds
because everybody knows who they are because everybody's seen them.
They opened up for the Foals too, right?
They opened up for the Foals, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy.
That's super cool. Yeah, they played Laneway over the summer. Crazy cool.
Yeah. Their music is always fantastic and just their interaction with the crowd. Everyone was having just a really solid bug, which is great.
So that's quite... Because as a headlining act, right, you don't want to pick a support act that's going to be stronger than you.
This is true.
Highly Unclear, how did they compare to Skeela and Daffodils?
I don't think that anybody was on a necessarily like we performed better than you kind of thing, because that's obviously not the objective with music. Everyone really, really nailed their performance. I know that the Highly Unclear guys had played at Meow in Wellington on the Friday night, so clearly a massive 24 hours.
They sold out Meow.
Oh, fantastic.
I might have made that up, right, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
We're on just a massive, like, it's all completely sold out vibe tonight. Yeah. Between them and 660.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was... They are just always absolutely fantastic. I mean, and they're just of such a stature within the music industry that people who go along, everyone knows them inside out, and they're here to see this band who, a lot of people throughout New Zealand may not necessarily have heard of because it's not, your top 40 stuff. But that's just the really cool thing about, when you go into these smaller gigs is that the crowds that you get filling out these places are people who are actually really committed to the musicians they've come to see. Mm. And that just brings this energy about the crowd that is just so cool and just can't be replicated anywhere in any of the bigger venues. When you get international acts, it's just like, oh yeah, I heard that name, I'll go along. Whereas, most of the crowds that go along to the likes of, you're Highly Unclear, that's, all diehard fans. Mm. And it was just fantastic. I mean, again, like, I actually had a real hard time, like, towards the end of the set, actually focusing on taking photos. I just love them so much. I was just going nuts. I met with the guys beforehand just to, have a chat and introduce myself. Well, yes, I did. In no particular order. And
so I'm just imagining
going
up to Michael and say, hey, Paul, nice to meet you, very confidently, because someone had told you that.
I love you and your work, like...
Yeah. Really familiar with you.
Yeah.
And, it's always you go in and, try and give off this level of professionalism. It's like, yes, I'm a dedicated music photographer. I'm extremely professionally good at what I do, yada, yada, yada. And then, they get to the second half of their set, and then there's a guy who's, like, bullhorned his way up to the front row, took, like, 5 photos, and is now moshing harder than anyone else.
Smash his camera.
Exactly. What camera?
Yeah.
I was just on my iPhone.
Yeah. This is all good, right?
Yeah, exactly. But no, it was super cool. Like just the like I said, the energy around the crowd was amazing, and just the interaction. I'm pretty sure those the Hardly Unclear guys got a fortune cookie as well, but I can't recall what it was. Maybe it was, maybe he didn't read it out because it was frightening. And
I'm pretty sure they always say good things.
Do they?
Don't they?
Not sure. I'm not.
Well, they're not called misfortune cookies, are they?
That's true. Mm. Can you have a bad fortune?
You will slip over on a tech deck on the way home.
How good would it be if somebody just pulled out a thing of fortune cookies right now?
You should have covered Peerly and you had this, you know.
Look,
we won't be having you back, Liam.
Put it on the dossier.
What does that mean?
It's like one of those like CIA files of all the stuff that people are generally disliked for.
You're a fancy man with fancy words.
Thank you.
Learn a lot.
Yeah. Nice. So it's good.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, so all in all, fantastic time. Really, really enjoyed it.
10 out of 10, would recommend.
Absolutely.
All of those three acts?
Mm-hmm.
Could we listen to a Skeeler?
I think that that's probably fitting.
Would you like, they're amazing, would you like Bluffin' or Away With the World?
Bluffin' is just such an anthem of theirs. Like,
mm-hmm. It's a hectic track.
Oh, that, it is.
Oh, very hectic.
Yep. Oh, we're going horizontal. Five. Yeah, if I remember rightly, they opened with it last night, and that was just such a power play, and just like, hey, we're Skeeler, let's party. And then everyone's just going nuts, like, instantly, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Crowd. Okay, we've got to use this tastefully. It's a good word, and I don't want you to ruin it for me. Play the song.
All right. Okay. Very aggressive.
Just loving with you. I just loving with you. Don't want to show my head, nah. I ain't in it to lose. Cause if I lose, yeah, I lose you. I, yeah, I'm just bluffing with you. I, just bluffing with you. Don't wanna show my hand, no. I ain't in it to lose. Cause if I lose, yeah, I lose you. Follow me, my every step, and I want not to get too close, God. If they tryna own me, I'll be running to kill, straight to my next meal. That every call I got, yes, it ain't that I don't feel for you, but I don't trust you now with that power if you need. So I keep them guys out, smoke up, and fuck you good, make you out to the moon. I got too deep in the woods, I'm for this, cause you're in the mood, I say, and that's how I do. If you got a problem with that, I suggest you get the fuck out of my gap and go home, boy. Just bluffing with you. I just bluffing with you. Don't want.
wanna show my hand, nah, nah. I ain't in it to lose, cause if I lose, yeah, I lose you.
I just asked an off-ear question just as the song finished because I am a pro.
Been doing this a while.
But I can just ask it on ear, which is that.
It seems like the more efficient way to do it because that it way does. We don't have to have a conversation twice.
It does.
Not that it's not a riveting conversation to have.
I was just also wanting to ensure that we would get another live song in studio.
Cool. Sorry.
You've got some thumbs up.
Thumbs ups.
Yes.
So I've nodded and thumbs up right so far. I need to, like, what's the trifecta of, like,
it'd
visual
confirmation?
It'd be good
if you could start doing some, like, some flexing. Like, if someone says something and you're feeling really, like, you really agree with it.
Okay.
I don't know. Do people do that when they're agreeing with someone? I don't think so.
Good start.
I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll make it a thing, along with hectic.
Yeah.
Hectic's already a thing. We've talked about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, we'll make it more of a thing.
Okay.
And sweet. Start the... Okay, sorry.
I've got this problem tonight where I keep wanting to say, like, talk about, like a trident. Or, like, I was about to say tridents. But you know what it is? You know what it is? This is the first time I haven't been sleep deprived in maybe, like, 6 months.
So you've been having enough sleep and now you're...
I'm losing the plot.
Yeah.
You should sleep less.
Yeah, you should definitely sleep less.
But a trident is cool. I just felt like I hadn't gotten that. Okay, now I've gotten that out of my system. Trident. Okay.
Moving on.
Actually, moving on. Okay. Yeah. The vinyl that you're pressing at your pressing plant. Is that correct? Lingo, it is. I mean, it sounds like you've got a big factory, but actually, you've just got
a pressing plant. Yeah. Compared to other plants around the world, we've got a tiny plant. Like we like to say, and it's probably true that it is the smallest plant in the world. All the other ones that we visited are just, you know, in the WAPs, huge sort of factories, warehouses with multiple machines, and we've just got, you know, little humble one in the
boutique.
Middle of all, yeah, boutique is probably the word we're looking for.
It sounds as though you can press quite a lot in quite a short period of time.
Yeah, we've got a huge capacity, so like 35 seconds, yeah, so if, yeah. Ugh, I don't know.
Once all the settings are right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, dumb question, but obviously. But when you go to the larger pressing plants,
so
is it just a case of they've just got way bigger turnover?
More
records at the same time, all that sort of thing?
Yeah. There's just a few huge ones that do lots of the big runs of the big albums, you know, so they do thousands and thousands, whereas, you know, we're just doing hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have the capabilities to do thousands and thousands.
Watch this space,
yeah.
When you were talking earlier about that you had gone into this business venture with the knowledge that there is a huge demand for vinyl to be pressed. I was thinking about people that I know within the music industry and their experience of getting vinyl pressed overseas and what a kerfuffle that whole thing is, because it takes so long, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, turnaround times overseas would be at least 3 months, even more, and that's what we heard as well, which kind of inspired us a bit more, that it's just, as you say, it's a bit of a kerfuffle. Like, it's a very hectic process. So much back and forth with test pressings, like, and because we're in, you know, the bottom of the world and in a time zone that no one's really in, like, it's very difficult to communicate.
Yeah.
So, bringing just, like, service is a huge thing for us too, just to make it a lot easier for artists. And, you know, we've only done a few releases, like I said, but everyone's been real stoked with the process. And although Minnie Simmons and another band, it was their first time, our our latest record that we just pressed was for Tom Scott's label Years Gone By, for an artist called Honey Be Good. And yeah, they've done it before and they said that was just a lot easier, like far easier. And they can come down to the plant and they did a bit of filming of it, get it pressed, and yeah, it's a bit more of like a thing.
So it was more involved process.
Yeah, way more involved. And it's cool to be involved with the artist at the same time.
Yeah.
I suppose from the artist as well, it'll be really cool because it's effectively your brainchild that you're actually seeing physically be made. It's not a case of hit upload and it goes through its various, you know, digital distribution.
And you've done so much work leading up to this, and you know that you can put it on online and stuff, but this is like the last step to get it pressed, you know, physically and get it out there. So like you put a lot of trust with people, so it'd be good to meet them and know them. And
there'd just be something so novel about picking it up and just like, I love the smell of fresh
press. Yeah, well, like you literally get pressed and you take it off and just listen to it straight away. That's quite cool. Yeah.
How have you gone about finding or selecting or organising the first few people to do runs with?
It's honestly just first in, first serve, except for Minnie Simmons. We were real keen to get them to do the first job, number one. Yeah, yeah, there are a couple of mates and we love their music and thought their aesthetic obviously matched vinyl pretty well, and it was a cool little you know, platform to launch their debut album, so that worked well. But after that, it's literally first in, first serve, and we've got a bit of a, like a line building, which is cool.
That's super cool. Is it really a bit stressful as well?
Yeah, it is stressful, yeah. Slightly daunting, but manageable. Like, our turnaround times are, we like to say, about, like, 6 to 8 weeks, but realistically we could get stuff done in, like, a month or so. But, yeah, we don't really like to over-promise and under-deliver, but, yeah, we're doing jobs quick and, yeah, some good products and, yeah.
Super exciting.
Super exciting.
So people can come into the store, which is on Wellesley Street West.
111 Wellesley Street West.
Near City Works. They can come in and chat. Can people come in and see the machine or not really?
Yeah, totally. We encourage people to come all the time. So yeah, we've got a huge window in between the store and the plant, so we encourage people to come and check it out and see what's going on. And then yeah, even we have like artists and people coming in all the time just to talk about pressing vinyl. Like, it's, as I said, like, if you're not doing it in New Zealand, you're on email or, you know, potentially the phone, but not, you know, not likely. So the idea that they can come and talk to us in person and check out some printing samples and our colours that we have and see records getting pressed, it, like, makes it a very real and easy sort of process.
One thing that I really like that you guys do is with your, feel free to kick in and take the reins, but with how you do your sort of subscription service for vinyl.
Yeah.
So like myself, I only have one record on vinyl, which is the Minnie Simmons one that I picked up.
Good pressing, I heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I don't even have a turntable, like, and it's something that I've been really, you know, keen to get into for a while. But it, you know, you can always go out and just go, right, well, I just want to go and try and find all my favourite albums on vinyl. Well, yes, that's fantastic because it's got that different sound that you've never really been exposed to before. But also, of actually getting to, you know, hear new music that you haven't heard before, which I suppose is where you guys have your sort of curation service comes in. Do you want to just talk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, totally. We, because we kind of launched the store, opened the store about 6 months before the pressing plant opened, just because the pressing plant was a bit more of a beast to get open than we first thought. So we got the store open and we're like, let's do something cool, and thought of a subscription service. And we knew there are other ones around the world, like there's a huge one called Vinyl Me Please in the States, and there's just no one doing it in New Zealand, and I don't think even in Australia. We're like, this is a really cool opportunity. So for the ones overseas, basically you sign up and you just, you don't get a choice, or maybe you get to choose out of three records or something, but you don't really get to choose what music you get, so you could just be paying for these records you don't even want. So we thought a cool thing would be we personalize it, so when people sign up, they basically fill out a form and we, and then just give us a general idea of what music they're into, you know, genres, artists, and even like their Spotify playlist and that sort of stuff. So every month or every 3 months, we've got two different options, we send them out a record curated specifically for their taste, which really they get as a bit of a surprise, if they don't like it, which has honestly happened a couple times, which is fair enough. Or maybe they have the record already, they can just come in or send it back and we can just swap it out. But Yeah, which is quite cool. But saying that, oh yeah,
that just, it seems like a lot of work, though. For
it
you.
Is a bit of work. That's yeah, a lot but of we kind of took this on thinking. Before the pressing plant. Sorry, the pressing plant opened.
Now so, the
yeah,
plant's we got a bit on. You're just on, like, oh cool. God, this is so much work.
Yeah, but no, we do a bit of planning. Like you know, we've got yeah, that's all good. But yeah.
And I guess if you're listening to records all the time as yeah. well in the store, then you
and we are going to launch, which we haven't launched yet because we haven't been pressing long enough. But a sort of another subscription-based thing, but it would just be on the records we've pressed, because it seems since we've started pressing, people are coming in and so keen just to get their hands on New Zealand press records that they, you know, sometimes not even phased about what music it is. So we thought it'd be cool that people could, you know, every month choose from the catalogue of records that we press, and we just hold a bunch ourselves. So that's what we're going to be launching soon when we amass a few records that we've pressed.
So where can people look out for this? How can people keep the tabs?
Probably the the easiest way to follow what we're up to is obviously social media, Instagram, Facebook. If you did want to learn more about the Curate subscription thing, it'll just be on our website. So if you go on our website, there's a on the menu it says Curate.
The website?
HolidayRecords.com.
Easy. Oh, .com.
I know.
So international.
Very international. Nice. Yeah, we were pretty lucky with that because, well, I guess we're pretty lucky. We were stoked in the name, but we're surprised that the name hadn't been taken.
Yeah, where did you come up with that?
We were just playing around with words and we thought holiday's a cool name, and who doesn't like a holiday, you know?
Yeah, who doesn't like a holiday? Exactly. Who doesn't like a record?
Voila. Our slogan, actually, which we didn't come up with, our fabulous friends from Sunday Best who did all of our design came up with it, but it's music's better on vinyl, life is better on holiday.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm into it.
That's a good one. We should put that and like change it and use it for ourselves, Liam.
Well, I mean, these guys have already got it, so.
Oh, for your.
Yeah, but we'll change it. We'll just change it a little bit.
You could change it a little bit. I'll turn a blind eye.
Yeah.
All right. I'll work on that one. He's gonna. I will convince him. Nice. Okay, cool. Hey, we actually only have a few minutes left, but I wonder, Jeff, would you be able to like treat us to just like one more little song? Or Totes. Even, doesn't it could actually be a regular sized song, it doesn't have to be a little song.
Okay. I have a selection of both. Actually, no, I don't. I've only got regular songs. I haven't written any little ones lately.
You have a tiny guitar, though.
I do have a small guitar, so I guess that kind of makes it a little song.
The photo to go with the photo to go with the post tomorrow. I'll make sure it includes the guitar.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds good. Okay, so this song that I'm going to play is my next single, and it's coming out on August 23, which is in less than 12 days from now. Countdown exactly 12 days. What's that? Sorry.
The countdown is on.
The countdown is on. Yeah, okay. And the song is called All the Hours.
A bridge on a river. The water flows with secrets and memories. A place I remember. But it doesn't seem to remember me. Oh, feels like ages and no time at all simultaneous. Like I crystallized all the time within my mind. Since I last breathed this air, feels like I never left. Oh, like I never left. Waking into a dream, slipping in and out of sleep. I'm out of sleep. And I'm just a melody, and you're just a memory of all the hours we wasted. All the hours we wasted. And I'm just a melody, and you're just a memory, wasting hours in the moonlight. Oh, how quickly they slip by. Do you ever think of all the hours we wasted? 'Cause I don't believe we wasted them. No, I don't believe we wasted them. Do you ever think of all the hours we wasted? 'Cause I don't believe we wasted them. A house on a corner, conversations hidden in the floorboards. I went past and thought of knocking on your door, even though you don't live there anymore. Feels like ages and no time at all simultaneous, like I crystallized all the time within my mind. Since I last breathed this air, feels like I never left, oh, like I never left. Waking into a dream, slipping in and out of sleep, I'm out of sleep. And I'm just a melody, and you're just a memory of all the hours we wasted, all the hours we wasted. And I'm just a melody, and you're just a memory, wasting hours in the moonlight. Oh, how quickly they slip by. Do you ever think of all the hours we wasted? 'Cause I don't believe we wasted them. No, I don't believe we wasted them. Do you ever think of all the hours we wasted? 'Cause I don't believe we wasted them.
Nice.
Cool,
dude.
Thank you.
That's so nice.
Thanks so much.
And it's going to come out in 12 days. So
yes,
people can listen to it
days.
On repeat then.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good song on repeat. That's going to be the next song that I listen to on repeat. The problem is that it will be a really good song and I will ruin it by...
Just thrash it to death.
Liam won't let me...
I can never listen to When It Rains, It Pours ever again.
Liam won't let me...
How long does it take usually until it's just completely thrashed, do you think?
It was a lot of times that we've listened to that song. As I said earlier on, when I'm working on a project and I'm excited about it, I just get obsessed. And I listen to that song probably, When It Rains, probably three times today. And that song is going to be my next song.
Oh,
I can
cool.
just feel
right.
it. So it's out in 12 days.
Yep, August 23.
That must be a Friday.
I believe it is, yeah.
Yep, Friday's a great day to release a song.
I love a fresh drop Friday.
Mm. And we're playing a single release show actually at Cassette 9 on that same Friday, August 23.
Nice, cool. And that will be, is it ticketed or just on the door?
Just on the door.
Nice. That's one of the cool things about Cassette.
Mm.
That you always know that if you arrive at a good time, you can get in to whatever show it is.
Mm.
Yeah, cool. And if people want to listen to more of your music and find your stuff, where do they find it?
I've tried to get into as many parts of the internet as I can.
Yep.
But Spotify,
yep.
I feel like is the most accessible to most people. So you can just search for my name, Geoffong, Jeff Ong. Or like SoundCloud or Bandcamp or Apple Music or like Deezer, which is apparently a thing. I got some royalties from Deezer recently, so that was cool. I didn't know that it was a thing until I Googled it.
Cool.
And thank you everyone for coming in tonight. This is actually the end of the show.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Come back anytime. We'd love to have you.
We'd love to.
If you are listening and you are involved in the arts community and there is something that you're wanting to come in and talk to us about, send us an email on kickarts1@gmail.com and Marianne will help you out. If you want to listen to this episode again or go back in time and listen to, we've actually got about 5 years worth online. This podcast will be available 5 minutes after the show and all of the other ones are available too. You can find it, the link through our Facebook page. It's Kickarts Online. Otherwise, just type Kickarts into Google and it will come up. I'm rambling now, so I'm going to go. I'm just taking you out with a song. It's by Pickle Darling, a Christchurch-based act who is just absolutely fantastic. He just released a video for the song, Bicycle Weather. It's a real tune. Go check him out. Yeah, all right. I've been Georgia, and remember to go out this week and kick some ass.
But is my art pure enough, or should I go home? Cause my favorite beat.
Oh, kick off! Yeah, love it. Hoo, baby, love those.